This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a special Tuesday edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Why is it a special edition? Well, kind of going to go behind enemy lines. There's a team that's kind of taken over first place and a huge, massive 5-1 victory over a Seattle Kraken team last night that is fighting for a playoff spot. And the voice of the Minnesota Wild is kind enough to join us. At one time, I was his analyst for the Houston Aeros, and he didn't take me with him to Minnesota, and I'll never forgive him for that. But it's Joe O'Donnell. How are you, my friend?
I said, thanks for having me on. always good to chat with you. And I thought you were going to lead with that you were my boss at one point. But we can save that conversation for another time.
Yeah, we bury those leads, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So your Minnesota Wild team, a massive victory last night. We had talked before doing this, that the road ahead is tough for the Wild. But when the last time the Wild were in town, we were having the conversation that, you know, you guys were fighting for a wild card spot, basically. What has been the key components of this turnaround?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because that next day after, you know, you and I got together and had some lunch, the Wild were playing the Stars. They lost that game, didn't play particularly well. And prior to that game at Morning Skate and Pete DeBoer's media scrum, his availability, he was asked about, hey, you know, if you win tonight, you go 10 points ahead of the Wild. And one of those sort of like, hey, you know, you don't really talk about this stuff or look at this stuff, but you would really kind of put them in the rearview mirror. And he did sort of address it, Pete DeBoer, and acknowledged, yeah, it's a big game from a swing standpoint, right? You're either 6-up or you're 10-up. And that's a massive difference this time of year. Now, this was, you know, 5 weeks ago. And like I said, the Stars took care of business that game, and the Wild were in a bit of a tailspin as far as post All-Star break and not having a lot of success. I think they dropped 4 or 5 out of the break. And were they going to be sellers? Were they going to be a wild card team? Would they make the postseason? And since then, they've gotten points 19 out of 20 games, basically since that day in Dallas, maybe a game or two later. But the point is, they just haven't been. They've been finding ways to have success, and it's come through some increased scoring. The streak that started with, I think it was 14 straight games to the point, which was a new franchise record, was actually more of a 2-1, 1-0, lock it down, not a lot of scoring, just the grimiest, greasiest hockey you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And now lately, as the stretch has continued here, this point's in 19 out of 20, it's been 5-1 wins or shootout wins or a shootout loss in Philadelphia 5-4, where you didn't play great, but you found a way to get a point. So they've just been consistent in the goaltending. I think, to answer your question, has been outstanding. Defensively, they've been better for the most part, and just finding ways to get it done, winning tight games or forcing a game into overtime where maybe they didn't play their best hockey. And honestly, they put themselves in a great spot now to sew up a playoff appearance, and you know, a couple more wins should probably get that done for him.
Yeah, Fleury looked really good last night. Ageless wonder. Great. Yeah.
Well, it was turn back the clock, Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, there's times this year, Gavin, where, you know, he scrambles a bit. There's a lot of rebounds. He has to make a flashy save, where Philip Gustafson, his running mate in net for the Wild this year, is the complete opposite, right? He's as cool as the other side of the pillow. There's no wasted movement. There's not a lot of flash and flair to his game. So they are two opposite ends of the spectrum from a goaltending perspective. But last night, Fleury was not only acrobatic and aggressive and flashy, but he was also I just feel like very technical as well. Like there wasn't a lot of one time he kind of got out of position and the Kraken sort of missed the opportunity. Shot was blocked at the outside of the net and he kind of looked up to the rafters afterwards like, oh, I got away with one. But other than that, he was pretty calm for Fleury standards, and I think that's a good sign for Minnesota moving forward. I believe he's like 8-0-1 in his last nine now.
Wow. How great was it that game against the Blues where Fleury came out and wanted to fight Binnington?
You have no idea how ready I was for that fight.
I know, I bet.
From a broadcast standpoint, man. I don't want to, you know, you never want to be
like a no-hitter, right?
A broadcaster. Yeah, exactly. I think I've called one goalie fight in, I started broadcasting in the ECHL in 2005. So, I mean, 18 years of calling some form of professional ice hockey, and I've called one, I think. So, yeah, I'd love to get a goalie goal. Selfishly on the broadcast resume, just to see it, be a part of it. But same thing with a goalie fight, especially since it's Fleury. He's going to be a Hall of Famer and a lot of ways public enemy number one across the NHL as far as goalies go, and Jordan Binnington. There's not a lot of goalies you look at as like bad guys or heels in wrestling, to steal that term. But yep. Binnington's one of those guys, and so that would have been awesome. Unfortunately, the linesman didn't let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the other night, Fort Wayne Comets had their first goalie goal, and If you listen to the play by play of it, you would have thought they just, you know, won the cup. It was it was big. Okay, so former star that played an integral role here for a number of years, John Klingberg, gets traded to Minnesota. Wasn't in last night's lineup. How's he been so far?
Well, he's dealing with a little bit of an upper body injury, so he's missed the last, I guess it's been three games now. The one in Philadelphia. And then the home game to Chicago and the home game last night against the Kraken. So haven't seen him the last three games. He's day to day. I believe he's traveling with the team today to Colorado and then Vegas. So if he sits out past this weekend, I think I'd be a little concerned. I'd imagine he gets back in the next couple of nights. Obviously added some instant offense. Hasn't completely clicked on the power play yet. Again, I think that's one of those things that takes some time. You don't get a lot of practice reps this time of the year, so that kind of hurts Klingberg in working with the top unit. And right now, you know, there's no Kirill Kaprizov, who's been out for the last three-plus weeks with a leg injury. So there'll be more shuffling to do when Kaprizov comes back with how the power play units will look if Klingberg's healthy and running the top unit and how that will all shake out. So I do think it's important for Minnesota these last eight games not only to be playing well, but start to identify roles. Klingberg, is he a third D pair? Is he top power play unit? How does he fit in? The one thing Dean Evason has said about John Klingberg is at times, and this is something in his career that sort of haunted him, is he's just not firm enough on pucks. He's not always willing to go north immediately.
Yeah.
And yes, the instincts are there offensively, but the Wild want to play a game like most teams where you're getting it on the forecheck, and that starts with the defenseman going north, being strong on pucks. But the offensive upside is obviously there. He scored a huge goal the other night that started a rally in St. Louis in that game you referred to that Minnesota eventually went on to win 8-5. Frisbee and a puck from the blue line that had some eyes and found the back of the net. So, yeah, the offense is still there for John Klingberg. He's going to play, you know, probably 17, 18 minutes a night with the Wild, you know, when he's healthy. But there's certainly a little bit of I guess just some kinks to work out there.
My partners on this podcast always joke with me since I'm such a big Ryan Reeves guy. And I just say everywhere he goes, he wins. And what's it been like, you know, spending the season with good old Revo?
It's a great question. I'm going to make an analogy here that I haven't really talked out of my head before, but like a lot of ways it's similar to almost having Fleury around. Just from a personality standpoint. Now they're totally different. So don't get it twisted here with the answer, but just like when you're like, what's it like to have him around? The first thing I think of, man, it's been awesome to just have Marc-Andre Fleury around, a future Hall of Famer, right? Like they're just such big personalities. Now to answer your question about Ryan Reeves, he is an alpha male in every part of the rink, on the bus, you know, in the hotel, on the airplane. Like he has this presence about him. And I think Bill Guerin obviously knew that, you know, when he traded for him, he talked about his swagger that he'll bring and the personality he'll bring. And man, Dean Evason absolutely loves him. You know, here's a guy that is going to make the coach's life hard when it comes to the postseason, and the Wild potentially get a Gustav Nyquist healthy, who hasn't played yet for the team he was traded for. Kaprizov's coming back. You got a fourth line that's playing so well right now with Reeves, Mason Shaw, and Connor Dewar. Like, they've been arguably the Wild's best line some nights during this stretch, points in 19 of 20. So he's going to be hard to take out lineup. And you love to see that from a guy that's worked for everything he's gotten in this game. Just a fun guy to be around. And obviously on the ice, like, he's as tough as it gets. And I know, you know, just from talking to people around the organization, that the first game that he played for the Wild in Dallas, which was that crazy 6-5 back and forth Stars rally, I think it was 4 in the 3rd. Wild eventually won the shootout. That was very early February, I think. Ryan Reeves went onto the ice that night at warmups and told Jamie Benn, "You're no longer essentially the, you know, the man in the Central Division." And from like a, you know, alpha male toughness standpoint.
Sure.
So that's what you want from Ryan Reeves, right? Like, he's going to step out on that ice and everybody on the other team is going to know he's out there and he's got a role to do if he needs to do it. But he's been scoring goals lately and playing great overall. Good sound defensive hockey. In on the forecheck, finishing his hits, contributing. He scored again last night. I mean, it's been a really, really positive contribution to this hockey team from what Ryan Reeves has brought. But overall, just like such a fun guy to be around. You could just tell how much he loves the game.
Yeah, the other one that I think with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, the guy that doesn't get the attention outside of Minnesota would be Matt Boldy. He's been a real nice story.
Unbelievable. I think it's 9 goals his last 5 games after another hat trick last night, his second hat trick in the last 5 games. He now has 3 career regular season hat tricks at age 21 or 22, whatever the heck he just turned, or he's about to turn. And the franchise record is 9 for Marian Gaborik. Parisi had 3. Now Boldy has 3. So he's already tied for the second most hat tricks in franchise history. And the kid's just played a barely, you know, 115 games in his career. So it's unbelievable the way he has this confidence about him right now. The coaching staff was begging him to shoot the puck earlier in the year. I don't know why you'd ever be hesitant to shoot the puck when you can shoot it like Matt Boldy does, but maybe just a young kid trying to defer to his line mates and defer on the power play. But Marcus Johansson, since he was brought in from the Capitals, he might be the steal of the trade deadline across the entire NHL, because it wasn't a big talked about move. But now that Boldy, Johansson, and Joel Eriksson Ek played together, they've been the Wild's top line, especially with Kaprizov out. Boldy's been on fire. He's confident shooting the puck. And boy, what a talent he's going to be in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Are they thinking, and are you thinking what I'm thinking? You know, my mantra heading into the playoffs is avoid the Avs in the first round.
I've been asked this a bunch lately, and I don't look, nobody in the Wild dressing room is going to say that.
Yeah.
But I think if you can win the division and play a wild card team, you know, it probably gives you the best chance to get out of the first round for the first time in a handful of years.
Yep.
Obviously Dallas, I think is a tough matchup because I've seen the way the Stars can score. Maybe they're not playing their best hockey right now, but we all know they can score. And Ottinger, as we saw last year in the playoffs, if he locks in, good luck. So, Colorado would be not a fun first round opponent, the defending champs, but I don't think they have the aura of last year. Now everybody seems to think they're going to eventually win the division. They're eventually going to get healthy. I mean, that was a talk 6-8 weeks ago, around the, you know, the Wild media circles. It's like, yep, the Avs are going to win the division. Like, even though they weren't maybe even in a playoff spot at that point, or they were in a wild card spot and 10, 12 points back of everybody. Like, you just knew they were going to get healthy and find their game. So I think if that's what you're thinking 2 months out, then certainly as you get closer to the playoffs, you've also got to be wondering just how good the Avs can be if they're up and running. Will they get Landeskog back, and how will their goaltending shake out? So it'll be interesting to see, but I think they don't want to put all their eggs into winning the division and kill themselves doing it, because some rest would benefit this Wild team. But if they could win the division and avoid Dallas and Colorado, I think that's a huge win for Minnesota trying to, again, sort of exercise those first.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brown Demons.
The voice of the wild, and my good friend Joe O'Donnell joins us on Spits and Suds as they head out on the road. You leave today for Colorado?
Yeah, play the Avs tomorrow night, one of those national TV games. The puck will drop about midnight, so those are always fun. I think it's a 9:22 Central time puck drop, so 8:22 local.
Yeah.
Wild fans tend to get screwed when national TV takes their games from a start time standpoint. Then on to Vegas, and it's actually a home and home against the Golden Knights Saturday in Vegas, and then Monday of next week back in St. Paul against the Golden Knights, and those will be two huge games as well. Again, the Wild don't have an easy path. I mean, they've got a game against Chicago and a game against St. Louis still coming up on the schedule. But in the last eight, they've got Pittsburgh. They've got the two with Vegas. They've got the game with Denver. They've got the Jets. And the last game of the year is in Nashville, a team that's playing hard despite a depleted roster. So it's going to be a difficult stretch for Minnesota to try and achieve their goal of, you know, peaking at the right time and securing that spot.
So from an outside perspective, looking at the Dallas Stars and calling the games this year, what have you seen? What do you like about this Dallas Stars team? Because, you know, we talk about the goods and bads about the Dallas Stars. I love to go outside of DFW and kind of get a different perspective.
Well, I think, you know, this is something that Tom Reed and I have talked about. He's the longtime radio analyst for Minnesota and who I work with, you know, every game. And he's talked about just, he thinks Jamie Benn's probably in better shape and was at the start of the year, hence his solid start to the season. So Jamie Benn obviously being sort of the engine and the Stars vehicle in a lot of ways from that personality and toughness standpoint, that swagger standpoint. So when Jamie Benn's going, I think the Stars are obviously a tough team. But then you can't go very far without talking about Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson. And I honestly, you know, we saw Matty Beniers last night. I hadn't seen him since November. To me, Wyatt Johnston should be getting a lot more talk for the Calder Trophy.
I agree.
Every single time I've seen this kid, I've been impressed. He's got hockey sense. He moves around the rink well. Seems like he scores timely goals. He's a guy that in a first-round playoff matchup, I'd be a little worried about sort of just being an X factor that would be under the radar. I don't think Wyatt Johnston gets enough love. On the back end, obviously, Haskinen's all-world, Ottinger and Net. Lundqvist, I think, has found his game a little bit from what I can tell, and eating up more minutes the last time we saw the Stars from maybe earlier in the year. And you've got Ryan Suter there, who spent, 9 years in a Minnesota sweater,
yeah.
and Wild fans know him well. So for me, like, if you're looking at obviously Colorado is a big Wild rival, right? And they're defending champs. But if you're looking at it from a storyline perspective, Minnesota, You know, the North Stars go to Dallas. You've got Ottinger, who's from Lakeville, Minnesota. Yep. You've got Ryan Suter. You know, I think that that would be, there's playoff history between the teams. I mean,
plus the Klingberg.
I think it would be Klingberg. I mean, boy, there are just so many. Robertson and Kaprizov, you know, from their Calder Trophy race a couple years back. There are just so many good storylines between those two teams. It would be a fun series, of course. But, yeah, overall, I think Dallas, it's hard to be consistent all year, right? The Wild struggled at the start of the year and then hit the skids right after the All-Star break. Now they're playing their best hockey. Just because Dallas might be a 500 team or a little below the last 4 weeks doesn't mean that ultimately you don't look at their whole body of work through a long 82-game season.
So saw a great picture of you on social media the other day. You know, we talk about people like Jake Ottinger, who's genuinely excited to play in front of his home fans in Minnesota and loves playing against the Wild. And you got to call the Wild game in Philly. You grew up there. You're the nicest Eagles fan that I've ever met. So I say that gracefully.
That's probably not true.
We tend to not like Eagles fans down here. You're the exception. Hopefully people listening will agree. But you took a massive family picture, friends and family out in, when you called the game against the Flyers the other day. I just thought it was cool because we think of athletes, you know, heading home, and your road to the NHL has been one where you've clawed and, you know, fought in the ECHL to the AHL for a number of years, moving from Houston to Iowa and now getting the call up with the Minnesota Wild. Just take me through that experience.
It was awesome. I mean, last year was the first chance at a broadcast game in Philly, and that was special. I mean, just goosebumps pregame, you know, like, I don't know, it was just crazy. And I don't think it will ever get old, to be honest. Like, even this year, going back there last week, probably had about 30 people come out to the game, for my parents, you know, to my wife's family, friends. I mean, it was guys I grew up playing hockey with. It was really cool. And I don't think I'll ever take that game in particular, the one date a year in Philadelphia, for granted. It means a lot to me, the support from everybody to help me get to where I've gotten. And just the fact that they're willing to show up and hang out before the game and catch up at intermission for a few minutes, and whether they're Wild fans, Flyers fans, doesn't matter to me. Just the fact that they have been so supportive just means so much. And it was a lot of fun. And again, that game will be circled on the calendar every year. It'll never get old.
And you're a part, or were a part, of the rich history of Houston hockey. And that's where we first met. And there's talk now about Houston getting a team at some point. I think they're mandatory has to be called the Arrows. And there's such rich history with the Arrows and hockey in Houston. But you have, I think, one of the best perspectives because you were involved in the play-by-play. You were involved in the business side of things. What's your perspective as far as Houston getting an NHL franchise?
Man, Gavin, over the years, I feel like I've kind of gone back and forth on this because I saw it firsthand. Then the team moved to no fault of its own. I mean, essentially forced out of the building, if we're being quite frank.
Yep.
Toyota Center lease was up, you know, triple the rent. Oh, that'll get the hockey team out of town. And it did. But I would say this, like, I believe that hockey can work there because they have a building, right, that's already capable of hosting hockey size-wise. They have ice making in there. Like, you can, you know, the ice plant, like, you can – you don't need a lot to make it happen. It's a big enough city. The corporate dollars are there. And I do believe that the fans, although it's a small minority of them, meaning, like, you know, probably let's say 5,000 hardcore hockey fans, like, that's enough to start the base of a real fan group, a real fan base. But there's other parts that have to come with this, right? Like, you're going to have to get the casual fan out there. The Texans fan, the Rockets fan, and you're going to have it priced where the casual fan wants to come out more than just once a year. Now, Houston is a big time transplant city, as you and I both know. I don't know, so much a touristy city, but a transplant city for work, the oil industry, all those things. So you will get some folks, a lot of people from California and Canada live in Houston. So you, I think there's a demographic there to make it work. I think the facilities are there, and I know the corporate dollars are there because it's what, the fourth largest city in the country. So there are big businesses and there are people that would help, you know, drive the revenue to make that thing work. Travel wise, you know, probably not terrible. You got some natural rivals, obviously, in Dallas being right down the road, and in the NHL with the way teams are flying and chartering and stuff, like it wouldn't be, you know, you plop them in the Central Division, I guess, and away you go. So I think it can work. I have kind of gone back and forth with it over the years because I saw the fan base. I saw how the team was forced out, but I know that there are still passionate hockey fans in Houston. And I don't know if it'd be an expansion thing for me, but more relocation that I think makes more sense. But with that said, I know this much, that the owners would prefer expansion because of the expansion fee.
Yeah.
Right. Every team gets a cut of that expansion fee. Relocation, I don't think they get squat. I could be wrong. So, and I know there's some talk of maybe even expanding the schedule a couple of games. Maybe getting it to 84 games, and people are probably thinking, oh my gosh, season's long enough as it is. But look at it right now. The Wild only play the Avalanche three times this year. They're a division rival, one of their biggest rivals, forget the division, and they only play them three times. This will be the first and only time we go to Denver all year is tomorrow. And that's, you know, there's something wacky about that. But at the same time, you don't want to not play Sidney Crosby every year, or wherever Connor Bedard ends up, if he's in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. Like, you want your fans to see other teams, but still try and manage the whole rivalry thing as well. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was watching the Anaheim game last night, and they were posting the odds for percentage to get the top draft pick.
Connor Bedard.
So, yeah. I mean, boy, if Anaheim gets them, they got some special players on that team. I mean, young and raw, but
I was driving into the rink yesterday, and I thought, if you had the number one pick, would you consider moving it? Like, what would that haul be like to give up the potential to draft Connor Bedard? I mean, you'd probably be crazy to do it, but you'd probably be able to land whatever you wanted from whatever team, you know, thought that they needed that one player. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think
crazy.
We
see it in the NFL, right? Like, hey, we don't need a quarterback, so we're willing to move out of the one spot.
It's right.
Like, you know, but I, you know, Columbus and Anaheim and all these teams, they could really use a game breaker like Bedard is sort of lining up.
Yeah, game. It's interesting, Joe. That's a really interesting point, I think, for a couple of reasons. I mean, there's only one Connor McDavid, but, you know, he's being talked about like that. So from a marketing perspective, that's what would make it tough for the city. I think the other thing, if I am, you know, giving up that pick, I need NHL players that are ready. Like, 100%. I need to turn my I can't go like number one pick in 2023, right. Number one pick in 2024. So, but it's a fascinating question because, I mean, we've seen, you know, players that turn out to be good players, but, you know, we've seen some players, you know, not turn out to be, you know, as good as we thought too. So it is, you know, it's interesting. Well, I appreciate it. You know, huge game for you guys tomorrow night. As we look at the standings, you guys really need to slow down. 95 points. We're at 92. And right now we play the Avs, so it's going to be interesting. But once again, congratulations, man. Awesome to be your friend for a long time. One of the coolest things, I'm going to go behind the curtain here. I don't do it much on this, but when you got the job, you actually took the opportunity and you called me, and we had that conversation, and that probably is a top five conversation I've had. I mean, that was special that you thought of me during that time. So I know the road was tough, but I'm just so proud of you, and continue good work, my man.
Oh, thanks, Gavin. That means a lot, buddy. And, you know, I called you for a reason, and you meant a lot to my career. And I know you're a hockey guy at heart, which is why it's awesome. Awesome. I think you got this podcast going down in Dallas, and I knew you were always a hockey fan, even in Houston. So keep up the good work, and it was great catching up with you.
My friend still says when we did that game in Houston, and it was on Sirius XM, and he was listening, and yeah, you know, for those that don't know, I used to show up in a suit, copious notes. I was so excited to do it.
Yeah, you were.
And I said the Arrows are about to go underhanded instead of shorthanded. Sometimes things come out of your mouth. You know,
I had forgotten that, but now that you say it, it does bring back some memories. Yeah. But yeah, you always told me before, you know, you're like, hey, I just want to make sure I'm prepared. I mean, you're a pro and what you do for your full-time job, your part-time job. And I appreciate that about you. You weren't just going to show up and be sipping a beer in the broadcast booth. Like, you were ready to go. Like you said, in the suit, you had all the notes ready. You wanted to make sure you were at your A game, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, safe travels to Colorado, and we'll catch up again maybe during the playoffs. That's Joe O'Donnell, the voice of the Minnesota Wild, special edition of Spits and Suds right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, we're growing. This is an awesome feeling. Seeing the statistics come in, it's pretty awesome. So if you want good local content here in DFW, just like, favorite, spread the word. There's a local DFW hockey podcast concentrating on the Stars and the NHL. It's called Spits and Suds right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.